It is always a joy to get together to worship God, but especially so when you get together with people you love and care about. It's so good to have Bradeen back with us again. Appreciate the nations giving her a ride to services this evening. And good to have the Whites with us as part of our new family. We very much appreciate their presence and the efforts that they are putting forth in God's service. It's good to have those who've been ill back with us and healthy, and hopefully the things we have to say this evening might be of benefit to us as we seek to do God's will and live more perfectly than we have in the past. I'd like to talk to you for a few moments about preparation. Preparation is something that's very much honored in the world. Boy Scouts' motto is to be always prepared, and that seems to be a pretty good one. And we always admire the individual who, when they ask, "Are you ready?" they say, "I was born ready." And they go, "Oh, yeah, there's a guy who's prepared." We think good of that. But I think sometimes, as Christians, we think maybe we're not supposed to be prepared. And that comes from misunderstanding a few Bible passages. When we're talking about preparation, we're talking about working ahead. As you anticipate something in the future, you work in preparedness for that event. But as you look at James, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 13, we find an individual who's condemned for planning ahead. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that." Now obviously James is giving a rebuke here, but I don't think he's giving a rebuke of preparation. But rather, he's giving the rebuke of that basically tells us we are condemned if we're ignorant of life's brevity. As we prepare for things, we need to prepare for it with the thought in mind that I might not live that long, and should not enter into any plans with the idea that I'm guaranteed this time and nothing's going to stop it. And so what he's condemning is not that we prepare for what's going to happen next year or our business plans or whatever, but don't make those plans without thinking about the fact that you might die before that. He also condemns the idea that we do not consider the Lord's will in regard to those plans, as if we've got total control and total say-so over those plans. We make our preparations, but we don't always know that the Lord's will is going to be such that we're going to be able to carry them out. And so we should not see our future as something that's absolute. But nor should we ignore it completely with the idea that, as the grassroots saying, let's live for today and don't give any thought to what comes after this day. A second passage that I think is often misunderstood in regard to the subject of preparation is Luke chapter 12. Here we read about the rich fool, as some have termed the parable. Verse 16, Luke 12, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou art as much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." As we read through this story, you might say, well, this guy was wrong because he produced great crops. No, there's nothing wrong with that. He was wrong because he tried to figure out what to do with his crops. No. He was wrong because he decided he was going to tear down barns and build up bigger ones. No. None of those things are wrong. None of those preparations are wrong. What was wrong is he did all this without contemplating whether or not his life was going to last that long. He was working on being rich on earth without considering, what if I died today, would I be rich in heaven? Am I prepared for that? And so what is being condemned is that we put no investment in heaven, not that we have wealth on earth. And it condemns the idea we'd have no anticipation of death, as if we can skirt around it. And so I believe what we need to think about in regard to preparation is this is not something that's foreign to the Christian's behavior. It's not a bad thing to prepare, to anticipate things, and to work toward those things. But we have to keep God in the forefront of our mind, and that life is temporary, and heaven comes first, and then make our preparations with those conditions in mind. In John the 9th chapter, verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus here is teaching us the idea of we need to prepare. We need to work hard right now because the nighttime comes when we're not able to work. And there's a literalness to what it is Jesus has to say. If you look at the time in which He was living, they didn't have electricity. And so you had to get your work done while there was sunlight out because you couldn't do anything after the sun went down. And so there was a work in the daylight because the dark night comes and it prevents it. But it's also true, or what Jesus is also implying with this, is we have to work while we're alive. There's no ability to work after we're dead. We've got to get busy and get the things done, get prepared, because we don't have all that much time. We might also say we need to work while we're young, while we're healthy, while we have a sound mind and a sound body. We have to be working at all these different things that need to be done. We need to prepare ourselves for the time when we're not able to do. It's been announced that my wife is going to have surgery on Friday. And we would hate to think that she successfully makes it through that surgery, only be poisoned by me on Saturday as I try to cook. And so she prepared. And we have all sorts of frozen things, casseroles and such, in the freezer to take care of us and keep us alive until she's back on her feet to cooking again and not risk being poisoned by me. But that is part of preparation. You know something's coming up, you anticipate it's happening, and you prepare while you're able to prepare for that time when you can't do something. And so we save money for a rainy day, the time we're going to retire and be too old to work anymore, and so on. Those are all things that I don't believe the Bible condemns. Things that we need to be mindful of. As we think about preparation, it's good to look at the benefits of preparation. One is that it relieves anxiety. If you think about what it is you worry most about, very often it's worrying about the fact that you're not prepared, that you're not ready. This is coming and this test is coming and I'm not studied for it. And so we worry. I'm running in a track meet and I haven't got enough exercise in and I haven't improved my time in the mile or whatever it is. And on we go with the things that make us nervous because we haven't really prepared for the event that is coming up. If we were prepared, the anxiety, the worry would be much less. It is also true that preparation improves our confidence. We're told in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 we should be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks about our hope. Do you get nervous when somebody says they're willing to study the Bible with you? And you think, oh no. Do you get nervous when somebody comes up and asks you about the Church of Christ? Oh, well, I don't know what to say. If you would prepare what to say, you would have less anxiety about that. You would have much more confidence about that. But you've got to prepare in order to reach that point. It is also true that preparation increases our success. The likelihood that we're going to get it done and get it done right comes from preparation. In 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, as David is contemplating the building of the temple and what a massive thing this ought to be, and he's been told he himself cannot build it, he makes preparation for his son to do it. He recognized this is something that is very important. It needs to be done right. I want to see that Solomon builds a temple that truly credits God in our mind, that we think He's more important than anything else. And so I'm going to do everything I can to prepare for that. And along with that idea, it emphasizes the importance. When we prepare for something, it's because we recognize that thing's really important. I want to do it right, and so I'm going to rehearse, and I'm going to practice, and I'm going to study ahead, and whatever it is you have to do, you do it because you recognize this thing has importance. In Mark the 15th chapter, Jesus has died on the cross, we're told that it was a preparation day. That is the day before the Sabbath. A day they prepared for the Sabbath. They recognized that was an important day, and things needed to be done so that the Sabbath would be observed properly. Well, recognizing all these things are good, and preparation, therefore, would be good. You might wonder, why don't we prepare? Why is it people don't prepare for the future and get ready for what's coming up? One reason is very often we're too busy with time, current duties. We got so many things going on right now that we can't get ready for tomorrow because I got to get this done and this done and this done, and all these things have to be done right now. They're on my list right now, and we busy ourselves with so many things right now that we can't really think about what's coming tomorrow. And so very often we don't prepare. Sometimes we're not concerned about anything beyond the now. Well, if as long as I'm here right now and I'm not feeling bad about what's going on right now, I really don't give any thought to tomorrow. It always reminds me of those cartoons. Perhaps you've seen some of them where it's all dealing with insects, and there'll be one insect that will get crumbs and prepare for the winter and so on, and there'll be another one that just goof around all the time during the summer, and then the winter comes, and the one that didn't prepare, he's shivering and he's cold and he doesn't have anything to eat and it looks like he's going to die, and then the one that did all the preparation shows some generosity and helps him out. And so he survives through to the next summer, next spring. And of course the next spring he does the same thing. Goofs around all the time, doesn't get ready and so on. We recognize the person who's really admirable is the one who prepares, who recognizes that there is something beyond the now, more often than not, and we've got to get ready for that. Very often the problem is we're just too lazy. We don't prepare for tomorrow because it's work, and we don't really like the work, and so we avoid it. Or maybe we're just too ignorant to think about that there might be a tomorrow, and I would be better handle that tomorrow if I prepared, if I did some things to get ready for it. Well, let's look at a few other scriptures. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 15, as we read about the gospel armor, Paul says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have you ever noticed that? We often talk about being shod with the gospel of peace, but he says with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's talking about you're being ready with it. And, of course, the idea of your feet is something that moves. And so what it is you've done what you can that you can move in the right direction. You're ready to go as the gospel directs you and to carry that wherever it needs to be carried. In Titus 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Are we ready to every good work? Very often we think, well, I will do that good work when the opportunity presents itself, but the opportunity sometimes never really is an opportunity because you did not prepare yourself for it. It's like you stayed up all night, say, on a Saturday night. You stayed up all night watching television or working on a project or something or other, and then Sunday morning rolls around and you are just exhausted. You're just really worn out. And you think, well, I can't drag myself to worship service. I'd fall asleep there and that'd offend the preacher. And he's so mean, I sure don't want to offend him. And so you just stay home. Well, there was an opportunity that would have been yours. But you went and wore yourself out the day before. You weren't preparing for that. There are good works that show up, but we've got to be ready to do those good works. And that readiness comes from preparing in advance very often. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 18, talking about the rich men, Paul tells Timothy that the rich men, one of their duties is to be ready to distribute. Not just to distribute, but to be ready. Always be prepared in advance, recognizing the opportunity may show up. I want to be ready for that. I want to have the money on hand in a liquid form so that I can give it to those people that need it. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus speaks of heaven and describes it as a prepared place. John 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then notice Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, I'm going, and I'm going to prepare, and then I'm going to come back. Now what's he expecting of us when he comes back? And of course, I realize he's talking to the apostles here, but the idea is that they need to be prepared themselves. Jesus is going to prepare heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We've got to be working diligently, getting ready for the time that the opportunity comes to go to heaven, whether that be our death or the return of Jesus. Notice what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Paul was not afraid. Oh no, I'm going to become a sacrifice. They're going to execute me now, and I'm not anywhere near as ready. I'm not pure. I've got all these sins I'm not repented of yet. I've got all these problems I'm not taking care of yet. I'm not ready to be offered up. That's not what he said. Paul lived his life in such a way that he was always preparing for heaven. So when the time comes for him to be a literal sacrifice, that he's going to be executed for the cause of Christ and die like the animal sacrifice would be, he would be pure enough that he would be acceptable through the blood of Jesus Christ to go to heaven. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You see, the time to depart is at hand. It's not time to get ready. You've got to get ready before that time comes. "I have fought a good fight." Past tense. I've been doing that. "I have finished my course." I've been doing that. "I have kept the faith." I've been doing that. Paul didn't say, "The time has come for me to be offered. I better start working on my course and my fight." It'd be too late then. He was ready to be offered. And then in Romans the 13th chapter, Romans 13, beginning in verse 11, we read, "And that knowing the time, that it now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." There are Christians who basically lull themselves to sleep. They have been doing things they were supposed to do in the past, but somehow they got bored with it, they got tired with it, or something else, and they've kind of dozed off, spiritually speaking. Paul says it's time to wake up, to come to understand that it's getting closer and closer. The time of your end and the time of your salvation, if you're right, is getting closer and closer. You need to get ready for that. You need to wake up to that. Then the rest of that chapter says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand." He's saying it's coming really quick. "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." You put off the works of darkness because that's not something that's going to get you to heaven. You put on the armor of light because that is required to get into heaven. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." There are things that have to be shoveled out of our lives if we are going to be prepared for heaven. And verse 14, he says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." As he talks about this idea of not making provision, that idea of provision is preparation. You don't prepare yourself to sin. You don't set it up that I want to commit this sin later on, and I'm going to make sure these things are in place so I can fulfill that sin. You don't make any preparations for the sin. You try to avoid the sin. You put on Christ, because that's preparing you for heaven. That's making provision for eternal life. And that is what it is you and I need to do with every moment we have life. We don't know when our life is going to end, when this world is going to cease, when Jesus is going to return, or when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to... We could die mentally. We could develop dementia, Alzheimer's disease. We could have an accident where our mental facilities are gone and there's no more opportunity to obey the gospel. Well, God's not going to let us into heaven because we were capable of obeying it, chose not to, and right now we're not capable. Had we been born with a mental problem that we never were capable of understanding, that would be different. But for all the times we could have obeyed and we decided not to, if we lose our mind after that so that we no longer can obey, that's not going to get us there. It's the same thing with our physical body. If we die physically, God is not going to say, "Well, of course they're dead physically. There's no way for them to obey the gospel now. I guess I'll just forget about the requirements." No. We were alive. We were sound in body and mind. We had an opportunity, but we decided not to. We decided to wait. We decided, "I've got too many things going on today to be concerned with tomorrow."
I got too many things going on right now that I can't think about what if I die. I got so many things I have to handle right now, I can't be considering what the Lord's will is. That's exactly the opposite of what God's Word is teaching us. There are things that have to be done in the here and now, in the performance of our duties as husbands and wives and children and responsibilities we have in paying bills and going to work and all that other kind of stuff. Those are things that have to be dealt with. But more important than any of those is to stand ready for heaven at every moment, because you never know when that moment is going to come. Are you prepared? If not, why not become prepared this very evening? If you're not a Christian, you need to hear the Word of God. Believe what the Bible teaches. Repent, turn away from your sinful behavior, and make a confession of your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession you've made the first time with your mouth in front of an audience like this, but the rest of your life, every thought, every action, every word reflects the truth that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why I don't drink this alcohol. That's why I don't use that kind of language. That's why I don't dress this way. That's why I go to worship services. That's why I do everything I do, because I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The confession is made first at a time like this, and then you're baptized, totally immersed in water. That is the point with your sins are all washed away. That is the point at which you enter into a right relationship with God. And then you continue to live that life confessing your faith by everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. Now, it may be that you became a Christian and you failed in some regards. You've let the world distract you. You've gotten too busy with the things of the here and the now and recognize you're really not prepared this evening. If Jesus were to come back right here, right now, oh, I'm not ready to be offered up as a sacrifice. I've got spots. I've got blemishes. I'm not blameless. There are things that I've done wrong. I've got sins I haven't repented of. I've got thoughts in my mind that ought not to be there. I've got plans to sin later on. I'm not ready to be offered up. Then why stay in that condition? Why not change? Why not repent? Pray for forgiveness. And if it be of a public nature and you want your brethren to pray for you, we can do that as well. There's no reason to leave the building unprepared. If we can help you in any way to get right with God, come right now while we stand and while we sing.